You may be seated. Love is the message. Love is the message. Last week, we spent a great deal of time talking about to grow in Christ is to grow in love, because God is love. God doesn't just love. He isn't just loving. God himself is love. And so if we are growing closer to Christ, if we are growing deeper in Christ, if we're growing in Christian maturity, the measure of that maturity is not how much we know. It's not how many things we're doing. It's not in our activities and our service per se. But it is in the quality and the consistency and the growing of our love for one another and for the world around us. Love is the message. Love is the mission. It's what we're here to do, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of his love for this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love is the mission. Love is the message. And if that is the case, and if God is love, we have an adversary. We have an adversary who wars with the things of God and with God himself. And if God is love, and love is the mission, and love is the message, then what do you think the adversary goes after? He goes after our love. You know, sometimes we think that what the adversary is trying to get out of us, or what he's trying to trap us into, is just bad behavior. And in a sense, that's true. But there's something else that he wants beyond that. And what he wants to do is cripple and stifle our love. See, when I'm involved in bad behavior, it's more than just bad behavior. Someone's being hurt. Someone's being affected. There's no such thing as a victimless crime. There's no such thing as a victimless sin. It all goes back to love. Love is the message. Love is the mission. And love is choked by fear. Love is choked by fear. We go into self-preservation mode when we're afraid. It stifles our love. Fear, anxiety chokes our love. We're so worried about us that we don't have enough space. We don't have enough bandwidth to be concerned about others. So the Lord says, don't be anxious. He says, don't worry. Why? Yes, this is a blessing to you, because he wants our well-being to be at its maximum level. But it's also because love is the message. And if you are preoccupied and concerned, and if you're worried, and if you're fretful, love is being choked. And that's why I want to give this morning's message. That's the setup. That's the context. That's where this is coming from. And I want you to turn in your bulletins, if you have one, to the calendar right in the middle, and then flip one page back to the left. And I want you to read with me what I wrote this week in the view from my place. Don't read out loud. Just read along with me. It's right before the calendar, right? To the left as you flip to the left. So the view from my place is a weekly devotional that I put out every Wednesday, for those of you who don't know what the view from my place is. And it's specifically designed, that particular devotional is designed to just share with you all where I am in my walk with the Lord. Hopefully there will be some inspiration and encouragement to you through my testimony, which is what the view from my place generally is. Paul said of the pastors, he said, you know what? Don't lord it over the flock, you guys. Don't go around telling people what to do. Be an example to the flock. Don't lord it over them. Be an example. So the view from my place is my attempt to share an example that hopefully will inspire and encourage you. So what is the view from my place of this upcoming election? You see, this election is creating anxiety. This election is creating fear. This election is creating worry. And the worry and the fear and the anxiety is choking love amongst Christians, amongst the people of God. So I want to share with you, what is the view from my place of this upcoming election? My convictions are rooted in Romans 13:1, which instructs me that there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Therefore, whoever wins this election will be God's man or God's woman. The same God who directed Samuel to anoint David, a man after God's own heart, had centuries earlier raised up the Pharaoh who oppressed the Lord's people in Egypt. And of that Pharaoh, the Lord said, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. The Lord displayed his power and exalted his name through a ruler who openly and stubbornly defied him. A ruler that was so consumed by personal pride that he was willing to sacrifice his entire country. This ruler was the son of the Pharaoh who had ordered the death of all newborn Israelite babies. This brings to mind another powerful moment in biblical history. When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua approached him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied. "I have now come as commander of the Lord's army." Then Joshua fell face down in reverence and asked him, "What does my Lord have to say to his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Amen. The Lord was on neither side because he has his own agenda. The Lord was not on either side because he has his own agenda. And whether through compliance or defiance to his word, his purposes will prevail. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. I believe he also wants us, like Joshua, to remove our sandals, our worldly perspectives, or our idolatry of ideology, and worship him as the only sovereign of this present world and the king of the world to come. Yes, I have my own political views and my own preferences, and I care passionately about the upcoming election. But whatever the outcome, no matter who takes the oath of office on January 20th, 2025, my prayer is that all the Lord's people will remove their sandals and worship him. Because God will still reign. He reigns, he reigns, he reigns forever. He reigns, he reigns, he reigns forever. Those are not just song lyrics. So let us worship him because God will still reign and his agenda will prevail just as it always has. Just as it always has. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Today's message is titled Removing Our Sandals. Removing Our Sandals. And it's about setting aside our human concepts because we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We may be residents of the United States of America, but we are citizens of heaven. This world will pass away, but the kingdom of God is forever and ever and ever. And the Lord is about something more than securing this world. This world is passing away. Jesus didn't come to prop up this world. Jesus didn't come to fix this world. Jesus came to redeem people out of this world and prepare them for the world to come. That is why Jesus came. So today's message is titled Removing Our Sandals, and our text is Romans 13:1, and I'm going to read it again. If you're taking notes, this is our text message, our text passage. There is no authority except that which God established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And I want to give you 3 points to consider, to process this. The first is this. I just call it divine rule over earthly thrones. Divine rule over earthly thrones. There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Paul says it twice. He says it forward, and then he says it backward. Just to make sure that we understand that it's not a misprint or a misstatement, that it was a slip of his tongue. No, there is no authority except that which God has established. And the authorities that exist have been established by God. May the Lord help us to internalize that. That's not a political statement. If you're looking at it through the lens of politics, may God give all of us grace to see it for what it is. The Word of God, which does its work in us who believe. There is no authority except that which God has established. And the authorities that exist have been established by God. God's man or God's woman doesn't mean, because all authorities are there because God has established them, God's man or God's woman doesn't mean a godly man. It doesn't mean a godly woman. It means God permitted. It means God permitted for God's purposes. God permitted for God's purposes. Pharaoh, you were permitted for God's purposes. You were not a godly man, but you were God's man because you were God permitted, and there is no authority that exists except that which is established by God. Samuel. Anointing David in 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 through 13. David, the most unlikely of the sons of Jesse, The most unlikely, ignored and overlooked, wasn't even in the lineup, as you know. He wasn't a finalist on America's Got Talent. He didn't even make it to the show. But he was a man after God's own heart. And he was chosen by God and he was established by God. But so was Pharaoh in Egypt. God raised Pharaoh up, the scripture says, to display his power and proclaim his name. Wait a minute. This is somebody who's defying you, mistreating your people, whose father practiced genocide. You raised him up. You established him. God permitted for God's purposes. Pharaoh's defiance and Pharaoh's pride led to the display of God's might and God's glory. But it doesn't just stop with those examples. When Jesus was arrested and he stood before Pilate and the accusations were flying and they said, this guy needs to be crucified, and Pilate got scared. Because it was like, oh, wait a minute, we got to bring the temperature down on this for sure. So he goes to Jesus and he says, don't you hear what they're saying about you? What do you have to say? And Jesus didn't say a word. He just stood there. He didn't say a word until Pilate said this, don't you know I have the power to send you to death? Then Jesus said, uh-uh. You would have no authority over me if it were not given to you from above. There is no authority that exists that has not been established by God. The authorities that exist have been established by God. God's sovereignty, brothers and sisters. Here's the point. God's sovereignty surpasses all earthly authority. And he uses various leaders and circumstances to fulfill his divine purposes, which supersede all the stuff we're looking at. It supersedes all the stuff that matters to us. It's higher. It's grander. It's bigger. It's more comprehensive. It's better thought out. He knows what he's doing. Second, heaven's plan versus earthly schemes. Heaven's plans versus earthly schemes. Joshua's encounter that we read about there in Joshua chapter 5, 13 through 15. Joshua meets the commander of the Lord's army. The fortified walls of Jericho lay ahead of him. This happened before they marched around the city and the walls came tumbling down. So Joshua has this encounter with the commander of the Lord's army. And he asks him, are you on our side or are you on the side of our enemies? And the commander of the Lord's army straightened him out. He said, neither. Wait a minute, what are you talking about? You know, you said you're the commander of the Lord's army. The Lord has brought us to this place, the promised land. We've crossed the Jordan. Here we are now about to face this intimidating force. You show up and you said you're the commander of the army of the Lord. And I'm asking, are you on our side? And you say, oh, no, I don't either. What does that mean? That's not very confidence boosting. I mean, we're kind of out here on an island, you know. Neither. But then Joshua got it. he got it. Oh, this is not my show. We're here, but this is not my show. I'm not the star of this event. I'm not the producer of this event. I'm not the director of this event. It's not my show. I can't just say, well, if you're here on our side, fall in with the rest of the troops. I'm not in charge of this. This is not my show. And then he says, what message does my Lord have for me? Isn't that great? See the change? Do you see the change? Now there's submission. Now there's a recognition of the sovereignty of the Lord. What message do you have for me? I'm open. I'm dropping my agenda. What's your agenda? What's your message to me? Brothers and sisters, we need to realize this is not our show. This is not our show. God has his own agenda. He has his own agenda. And that's why some things he does or doesn't do leave us puzzled and perplexed. And sometimes we get hung up and we get trapped in our own thinking, in our own wondering, in our own machinations, and we try to figure out what in the world is going on. Why isn't it lining up the way I think it should? Whose side are you on, God? Are you on mine or the devil's? Are you on mine or somebody else? It's my agenda. It makes total sense to us sometimes that he should do it our way. Doesn't it? It makes total sense. Why don't you just do it my way? I've asked people at Bible study sometimes. I said, if you had the wand of absolute control, if God said to you, I've been listening to your prayers, and I've heard that you want this and you want that, and you want me to do this and you want me to do that. Here, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a break for a while. And I'm going to give you the wand of absolute control. I'm not going to be around. I'm going to let you have it. And whatever you decide that you want to have happen, you go ahead and do that. But you have to live with the consequences of what you choose. It's okay, because you want me out of the picture. So I'm going to get out of the picture, and I'm going to give you absolute control. How many of you would take that wand? No, I don't want that. I don't want that. But we're always snatching for it, though, aren't we? We don't really want it, but we're always trying to snatch it. We kind of want it, but we want you to hold on to the other end, God. So we want to wave the wand with you attached to it. So if something blows up, you can put it out. It's not our agenda. See, Peter thought he had it figured out. And he said, when Jesus said, I'm going to the cross, he said with great boldness and energy and humanity and confidence, this will never happen to you, Jesus. I'm willing to go to prison and to death for you. This is not going to happen to you. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Wait a minute. Why are you saying that about me? Well, I'm trying to protect. You have your mind on man's interests and not on God's. You've forgotten this is God's agenda. You're thinking like a man, Peter, but this is not of man. Removing our sandals, it means letting go of worldly perspectives and what I call the idolatry of ideology. If you want to know what that is, I'm not going to go into it, but it will be attached to my notes tonight. Down at the bottom, the idolatry of ideology, about three different paragraphs. And if you want to look at it, you can look at it. But it's about worshiping particular issues that we think are God-ordained. And we can't separate God from those issues. God is on the side. Not of this group or this man or that man. God is on the side of loving kindness. God is on the side of justice. God is on the side of righteousness. God is on the side of those things that make God God. God is on the side of the attributes that he displays. God is on the side of God. God is on the side of fidelity to his own nature and his own purposes. God is a free agent. He's not contracted to anybody's agenda. So removing our sandals means worshiping God as the only sovereign, and this world is his project. Did you hear me? This world is his project, not ours. This world is his project. He calls us alongside. He lets us get involved. He says, here, you hold this for a minute. He says, would you pick that up for me and bring it over here to me? We are like that. But I'm doing this. I'm doing this. And I'm not going to do it the way you think it should be done. You see, there's a difference between the way you and I think. My thoughts are what? Are not your thoughts. And my ways are what? Not your ways. How high are they from yours? The heavens. Our job is to align with God's divine plan and not trust in our limited earthly perspectives. Number three. Faith over fear in this election season, in all election seasons. Faith over fear. Let me say this. Don't be negligent in your civic duty. I am not going to be negligent in my civic duty. I am going to vote early, and you should vote. Whether early or not, you should vote. I am not abandoning my civic duty. Do not interpret what I'm saying as it doesn't matter. Elections have consequences. And each of us has a role in this country, thank God. Each of us has a role to play in the kind of governance that we want to live under. So carry out your civic duty with diligence and vote. I am. But my destiny doesn't rest in the outcome. I have my preference. That's why I'm voting. I have a civic duty. That's why I'm voting. I want stuff to go the way I want stuff to go. I own that. I'm not dismissing that. I have my preferences and my views. And I'm going to vote consistent with them. But I am well aware that my destiny does not rest in the outcome. Because there is a God in heaven who has his own agenda. I believe regardless of the election outcome, God's reign and God's agenda will prevail. Instead of our own agendas and ideology, my prayer is that as believers, again, on November 6th, when you wake up, you won't even know for sure, probably until November 13th or November 20th or November 27th, who knows? This hand counting going on. We may not know till next November 6th. But whenever the outcome is determined, my prayer is that we're going to worship instead of fret. A faith perspective leads us to worship. Our God, He reigns, He reigns, He reigns. When this world passes away, there will be no election. May we place our trust in the Lord's sovereignty. When this election is over, we will still be brothers and sisters in Christ. When this world passes away, we're going to be together forever in the same place. We need to invest in maintaining faith and unity, trusting in God's ultimate plan, and keeping an eternal perspective beyond these earthly elections. How can we trust in God's sovereignty in our current political climate? We just need to remove our sandals, worship God, and trust in His ultimate plan. Brother Solomon stands up here and gloriously sings that song about sovereign. Who am I is one line. He can do what?
Whatever.
Those aren't just words that apply out there somewhere. They have applicability right here and now in this climate. And we need to embrace them as such. Michelle Williams, when Jesus says yes, when Jesus say yes, no one can say no. When I was a younger believer, back in the 70s, we used to sing, "Our God reigns. Our God reigns." Further back, even younger, "He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got mommy and daddy. He's got brother and sister. He got the little bitty baby." Then we start throwing animals in, the dogs and the cats. All kinds of things went into the Lord's hands. "He's got the donkeys and the elephants. He's got the donkeys and the elephants in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands." So I want to leave you with these passages. I'm just going to read them. I want you to write them down in your notes for your consideration. The Lord Almighty has sworn, "Surely, as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will happen." That's Isaiah 14, 24. I'm just giving you these for your meditation during this election season. Just giving them to you for you to just sit with the Lord and meditate on, pray about, ask Him to help us all to internalize these in our spirits so they're more than just religious rhetoric. Proverbs 3:5, you know it. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." I love that verse. Doesn't say don't use your understanding. Use it. Just don't depend on it. Don't lean on it. Don't think this is the way it's got to be. "Whose side are you on, Lord?" Neither. I have my own agenda. I'm doing this my way. And I'm going to, you know what, Joshua? You're facing Jericho. What I have for you, you never even thought of. You would, if you knew what I have planned for how Jericho is going down, you wouldn't believe it. Because all you're going to do is walk, brother. All you're going to do is march around the city. What kind of plan is that, God? What kind of plan is that? It's my agenda. I got my own way of doing this. And it's higher than the heavens are above the earth and what you have in mind. So no, I'm not on your side. This is my show. Psalm 46:10. Cease striving and know that I am God. What are you talking about, Lord? I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You don't have to try to make this a Christian nation. Because I am going to be exalted in whatever kind of nation it is. I am not bound by the Supreme Court. I'm not bound by Congress. I will be exalted. Let me backtrack. Vote. Because you can have a preference about what you want Congress to look like and what you want Congress to do. But don't lean on your own understanding. And remember to cease striving. Do, but don't fret. Realize that God is going to be exalted in the nation. And he's going to be exalted in the earth. And then Philippians 4:6-7, which we always use for our personal things. We always think about, well, Lord, I got this thing going on at work. And that's how we apply it. You know, Lord, you know I need, this thing is happening, this little circumstance. Think bigger. Think broader. Think about this election. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, while everybody else is running around saying, woe is me, and can't sleep, checking the polls every day. Oh, Lord, please don't let that person get in. Don't let that person get in. Fine. Pray about it. That's what it says. But it starts with don't be anxious. Commend it to the Lord. And recognize that his agenda is going to reign, whether it meets my criteria or not. It doesn't have to be my way. I don't want the wand, Lord. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, let us, by God's grace, remove our sandals and enjoy the peace, the presence, and the joy of the Lord this election season. I'm done.